Power Hour. It's the one. Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics.
Every Saturday morning, you need to be tuning in. Wake up, get crossed out your eyes. We about to go live, so come get the schooling in. About our oppression, we answer the questions like how do we get out this low estate? We let the scripts prophesy, we bringing the Bible to life so that you relate. The world thinks we're rejects, but that word we reject. Watch and we'll show you precept upon precept, line upon line. The scripts say we're the greatest, and they can't debate it. Salvation is only for the blacks, Hispanics, and natives.
Power, power.
The one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Yeah, yeah. Blacks, Hispanics, and Natives.
Power Hour.
It's the one.
Power Hour.
It's the who.
Power Hour.
Shalom, shalom, Most High in Christ bless. Welcome to another edition of the Wednesday Night Power Hour, where we discuss Native, Latin, and Black biblical topics. I am Captain Amariah.
Officer Shai Shalom.
Officer Shai Shalom. It's a good name.
Officer Shai Shalom, Israel. It's how much Shalom is.
All praise to the Most High in Christ again. Back once again with another lesson, Lord's will, it's edifying. As those that have seen the segments here on Wednesday nights, we never go into anything deep. It's the deep basics. It's the things that pertain to our salvation, which is tonight's topic. Salvation, who is it for? In the 9 years now that I've been in the truth, there's always different topics that rear its ugly head, so to speak, right? There's things like multiple wives. Sisters, if you believe that you could be a multiple wife or a sister wife, then you're a fool. That's not scriptural in this time. That's not this topic, though. Although Lord's will, one day life lasts, we can cover that in detail. The name doctrine, the Hebrew. What else is out there? What else?
The name doctrine, the Hebrew.
That's two things I just said. What else in addition to the name and the Hebrew?
Oh. Something that's been coming out a lot, the head covering, the sisters, that their hair is their hair covering.
Their hair is their head covering, which is not biblical, all right? But one of them is salvation, and that the Gentiles or the heathen or the other nations can be saved through Christ as well. As long as they cleave to the nation of Israel and in subjection to us in this time, that they can also get salvation. Let's get Romans 15, verse 4.
The book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
So the Apostle Paul reminds us, listen, the things that are written in this Bible from Genesis to Revelation, they're written for our learning. We're supposed to pick this up. The scripture says, blessed is he that readeth, right? You have to be able to read the Bible, go precept upon precept to discern and unlock the mysteries of the book that was given to the nation of Israel to begin with, all right? From the beginning to the end, it's a book that was written for us, by us. But all of a sudden, in these last days, now we think, okay, now we can squeeze in the different nations. Listen, it's very simple. The Most High does not change, okay? Give me that real quick. Malachi 3, verse 6. Let's get that real quick. Malachi 3, verse 6. People that want to include the other nations, it's for two reasons, and two reasons only, right? It's because you either have a heathen family member, maybe your mother or whoever is a heathen, right? Like the first, I'm going to say it was the first almost 5 years that I was in the truth, I thought that my mom was an Edomite for almost in the entire 5 years because I went based upon what she said. I said, what are you? Oh, we're Spanish Caucasian. She said, all right, well, that sucks. It is what it is, though. I didn't try to say, oh, you know what? Let me start studying the Bible to disprove what God says. Let me just seek out my own salvation with fear and trembling.
Right.
So that's one thing, right? It's because you have a mother or whoever is a heathen. So you want to try to usurp God's laws and say, okay, this person can come in.
Right.
The other one is lust. That's the only other reason why you want to go over what God says and then bring in all these heathen, is because you have this affinity and this lust towards the other nations. And you want to have them cleave, that way you can take them as wives and everything else. But even that's confusing to me, because within the nation of Israel, you have every look within the nation.
Right.
You can find someone that looks Asian or Arabic within the nation of Israel. But that's the two reasons. Give me that real quick. Malachi 3, verse 6.
The book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 6. For I am the Lord, I change not.
It says, I am the Lord, I change not. He declared the end from the beginning. And in the beginning, before he did anything else, before he said, let there be light, his son, Jesus the Christ, all right, or Yahweh Shai, Yehoshua, whatever you want to call him, whatever title that you subscribe to, it was prophesied from the beginning that he would come and die and bring salvation to the nation of Israel. Now go back to Romans 15.
The book of Romans, chapter 15, verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning.
They're written for our learning. It's for us to learn from it. That's the key thing. It's not to just pick it up and read it, because if you're not applying it, you're never going to learn from it. You're going to try to usurp God's laws because you want to fulfill your own lust. Read.
That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope.
So it's the scriptures that comfort us. It's the scriptures that build up our faith, our hope in these last days. It's a comforting thing to know that society sees us as minorities, just blacks and Hispanics, when God says that we are the 12 tribes of Israel. That's a comforting thing. It's a comforting thing to know that all the atrocities that were committed unto us as a people, that God said, don't worry, I will recompense them. Give me that real quick. Turn the page. No, I'm sorry. Go back a couple pages. Romans 12 and verse 17.
The book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men.
Now jump down to verse 19.
Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves.
So the Lord tells us through the Apostle Paul, don't recompense man evil for evil, all right? Don't pick up arms and try to fight against this man that God put into authority to be the sword that he uses against us for our disobedience. You can't fight against a man that God ordained. But he says, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Read.
Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord. We serve a just God. All you got to do is keep his commandments in the faith of Christ, play your position as a continual repenting Israelite, and know that you serve a God that sees all the atrocities and things committed unto us. But guess what? He did those things for our disobedience. That's a joyous thing that should give you comfort. No, you're jacking my sound all up, bro. Go back the other way. More. There you go. Are you trying to get rid of that static?
Yeah.
Just leave it. Because you're over here doing a bunch of stuff, and it's completely throwing me off, bro.
Gotcha.
All right?
Yes, sir.
It says, oh, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let us know that the Most High God of the nation of Israel will repay those things that were done unto us. All right? It's just for us, up to us to play our position. All right? Give me the definition of salvation. Give me the definition of salvation real quick.
In the spirit. I was thinking about that. I didn't look it up this week, but I was thinking about it.
So again, the topic is salvation. Who was it for? Because listen, after you understand this truth and you understand the things, the crafty counsel that the nations have done against us, chiefly starting with Esau, who the world so ignorantly calls the white man, chiefly with him, right? And then you go down to everyone that's in cahoots with him, or in alignment or in agreement with him, all the nations, when you actually observe all the atrocities committed unto us, who the hell would want them to receive salvation with us?
Right.
That's Stockholm Syndrome.
I was going to say a destroyed mind would want that.
That is Stockholm Syndrome at its finest, to know that this man did all these things unto you, and all we have is what Google Images show us and different history books, mm-hmm. right? It's probably 10,000 times worse than that. And yet you say, oh, no, this guy can come in as long as he cleaves unto us and keeps the laws. And we're going to disprove that whole lie. Mm. But it says salvation. This is just one quick definition that I pulled up. It says,
damn,
preservation, or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. All right, so it's that second part that I want to focus on mainly. Deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss, right?
That's in a nutshell, that's us. Deliverance from harm. We've suffered harm, we've suffered ruin, and we've suffered loss throughout the entire history of the Bible.
Give me Luke 1 and verse 68. So now, the definition of salvation, once again, that I want to focus on is the deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss, right? Now, that's Deuteronomy 28, 15 through 68 in a nutshell, like the officer just brought out. You don't need to go anywhere else other than just this definition. It's the first one that popped up. I said, cool, I'm going with that one because it's perfect, right? Luke 1, verse 68.
The book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 68. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel.
Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, not all nations. He's only the God of Israel. You could read that in Joel 2. You could read that in Amos 3. You could read that in 2 Ezra 6. You can read that in Isaiah 40. The list goes on and on and on that he's the God of the nation of Israel. That's never changed. He's the Lord, and he changes not. Read.
For he had visited and redeemed his people.
His people was the nation of Israel. He visited and redeemed his people. And that time to come when Christ returns, when that sky cracks and all the nations see that there is a black man that they ignorantly thought was a white man.
Right.
And he's coming back to redeem one nation of people. Listen, if the nations could get saved in as well, when you read in Wisdom of Solomon 5, when it talks about the strangeness of their salvation.
Right.
And you know what? Actually, I'm going to hold that. We'll get that next.
Okay.
We'll get that next.
Okay.
Read verse 69.
Verse 69. And hath raised up an horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake them by the mouth of his holy prophets.
Read again from the top again. I'm sorry.
As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies.
So it says that he raised up a horn of salvation. The horn is talking about a leader, the one whose government shall be on his shoulders. That's talking about our King Christ. He raised up that leader of salvation in the house of his servant David, as he spake by his holy prophet since the world began. So ever before he said, let there be light, it was always ordained that Christ would come and read verse 60 or 71 again.
Verse 71, that we should be saved from our enemies.
That we should be saved from our enemies. Read.
And from the hand of all that hate us.
That we should be saved, meaning have deliverance from the harm, the ruin, and loss that happened to us. Now, we don't have time to go into all the curses, but there's various curses that talk about how we would be cursing the city and cursing the field, how we would plant vineyards or build houses, but we shouldn't reap of those things. We shouldn't live in the houses. Why? Because they would be taken by our enemies, those that continue to oppress us to this day. They use us for our services, but all the benefits that come from those things go straight to them.
That's right.
You had something?
Yes, it says, a Christian should read this, and our people that are ignorantly and blind and want to save our oppressors, it says, be delivered from all the hand that hate us. The Bible says there's people that hate us.
Right. Give me Nehemiah 5. Nehemiah. Give me Nehemiah 5 and verse 9. So now we're going to get a little bit on who the enemy is, all right? Before we really dive into who salvation is for, it should be very clear. If you have any kind of understanding or any kind of sense, then you would know that every book has an author and every book has an audience. So the author of the Bible is the nation of Israel, the Israelites, the prophets that wrote the various books. And the intended audience is those that it pertains to, which is the Israelites.
That's right.
Listen, I'm not going to pick up a book on gardening if I want to learn how to work out and build muscle.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. So just like how these heathen can't pick up our history book and our book of laws and think that they can live a perfect life.
Right.
It doesn't work like that. But Nehemiah 5, verse 9.
The book of Nehemiah, chapter 5, verse 9. Also, I said, it is not good that ye do. Ought ye not to walk in the fear of our God because of the reproach of the heathen, our enemies?
You see that? The Bible says the heathen just means the other nations outside of the nation of Israel. and those of our people as well, too, that operate in the mindset of being a heathen, of being an American or a Mexican or a Peruvian, West Indian, whatever the case may be. If you're not operating under the banner of the Bible as a repenting Israelite, then God considers you a heathen. But in this particular verse, he's speaking about the other nations, those that hate us. Give me Psalms 83. Because the officer made a good point. He said, listen, it says those that hate us. He's meant to come bring salvation from those that are causing us harm, ruin, and loss. Those people that hate us. And I'm going to prove why they hate us as well, too, in the next verse. Psalms 83. And let's get right to it. Psalms 83, and actually start at verse 2.
Verse 2. Psalms 83, verse 2. For lo, thine enemies make a tumult, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head.
It says, for lo, thine enemies. So because he's our Father and he's our God, our enemies are his enemies and vice versa.
That's right.
That's the trickle-down effect. God has enemies, right? If God loves everyone, then why does he have enemies? And we're going to prove with the scriptures why he has enemies. Listen, I would feel some type of way, too, if I knew that my only purpose in life was to burn forever. That would make me feel some type of way.
Right.
But guess what? That's why I'm able to face the East. Thank the Lord that I am Israel, and I had the opportunity to repent.
Right.
Keep these commandments in the faith of Christ.
But it says,
oh, it's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yep.
It really is.
And it's more beautiful to be called into this truth that the Lord gave us understanding and say, hey, open your eyes. And not be out there and, hey, bro, come here. Let me give you a flyer. You're in Israel, the greatest people on the earth. And say, nah, I'm good.
No, I'm good. I'm going to continue smoking my Newport and eating my pulled pork sandwich. You know what? It is what it is. That's why the scripture says, don't sleep as others do. Don't take you even knowing that you're Israel for granted. Don't take that for granted because, like the officer just said, the Most High is giving you. He deals with everybody differently, right? If you've been here for a year, 2 years, 3 years, all praise to the Most High in Christ that you're able to endure that long, but continue to endure because you could have been that brother that walks past the camp, sees the camp sign and says, 12 tribes of Israel, and that's all the Most High gave you, and that's it. And that's it. That's it. That was the one thing the Most High gave you, and you said, nah, okay, whatever.
Right.
And then you go off into sin and then don't get salvation. But it says, and they that hate thee have lifted up the head. They that hate God have lifted up the head with pride, with putting themselves over the children of Israel. The base people of the nations, of the heathen, don't know who we are, right? Some may. It's actually kind of funny having a conversation with a base heathen, and they actually know certain things. So it lets you know, if these base of them know it, then obviously those in the upper seats, in the upper echelon of them, they know exactly who we are, and they know exactly what they're trying to do to keep us hidden, all right? Jump down to verse 6. So now we're going to get a list of God's enemies.
Verse 6, the tabernacles of Edom.
Edom is the white man today. Read.
The Ishmaelites.
The Ishmaelites, the Arabs.
Of Moab.
Moab is the Chinese.
And the Hagarenes.
The Hagarenes, those are Africans.
Gebal.
Gebal, more Africans. Read.
And Ammon.
And Ammon, which is the Japanese.
And Amalek.
And Amalek, which is the Jewish people. Those of you that hate you so much that they reduce you to being a Negro and a Hispanic and said that, no, we're God's chosen people.
They reduce us to cattle. They call us goyim, which is cattle. You're like a cow to them. You're like a sheep to them. You're not even a human being. You're a goyim. You're a cattle. You're an animal.
You know what's funny about that, too, is that when you tell them what goyim means, they actually deny it. But when you look in their book, in their literature, it tells you exactly what goyim means. It's a derogatory term that they use to call you, like you said, less than a person. It's the same thing that they said that Negroes are three-fifths of a man. It's the same exact thing.
It's like an inside joke they got for us thing. Like, oh, it's a goyim is not a cattle, but it's like, hey, look at this animal.
Well, guess what? It's not inside no more.
Right.
Cats are the bag now. Listen. But the funny thing is they're the goyims, right? Joke's on them. But read on them.
And of Amalek and the Philistines.
Read.
With the inhabitants of Tyre.
Read.
Ashur also is joined with them. They have hoped in the children of Lot. Selah.
So from Edom all the way down to Ashur and to the children of Lot, it names all the other nations outside of the nation of Israel, letting you know that the enemies that we have is everybody outside of the nation of Israel, right? Everybody outside the nation of Israel is confederate against the children of Israel to keep us asleep to who we are, to keeping these commandments. So that's why in these last days, through the mercy of the Most High God by sending his son, right, and Elijah coming here in the last days and teaching us, hey, listen, you're not these bywords and proverbs that these people have named you, but you are the children of Israel.
That's right.
We're waking up slowly but surely. You can't stop what God says is going to happen.
Right.
But we shall be saved from our enemies and all they that hate us. They that hate us is the other nations outside of Israel. Give me 2 Ezra chapter 2 and verse 28. I'm going to show you why the heathen hate God and why the heathen hate us, because he is our God. 2 Ezra 2 verse 28.
The book of 2 Ezra chapter 2 verse 28. The heathen shall envy thee.
You see that? That's why they hate us. They hate us because they ain't us.
Right.
That's what it is. It's like they despise us because they are not us. That's what it comes down to. God created all these various nations of people at the very beginning. He said, but unto this particular people, that's my chosen people. That's why I'm going to give them a dress code. That's why I'm going to give them a dietary law. That's why I'm going to give them moral laws, civil laws, ceremonial laws to keep them separate from everybody else.
The things that please me, I'm going to give them to you.
Absolutely, because that's the things that you give to your chosen people, your favorite people.
Mm-hmm.
Those that you love, the apple of your eye, you give them things that's well-pleasing unto you. But it says the heathen shall envy thee. They said, damn, so these people get all these things, and all we get to do is serve them and potentially be destroyed. And guess what? Everyone said, Selah, because you can't do nothing against God.
Right.
He's the Most High God. Now, in these last days, we've been so duped and dumbed down to thinking that man created God versus the other way around.
Right.
So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when it comes to our people, guess what? We don't fear God.
Mm-hmm.
That level of fear is not there. It's even not there within us that know we're Israel, because why? We still continue to do willful sin. Even us as that have been here for whatever amount of time, whether it be a month, a year, 10 years, if you fall into willful sin, then you still have not perfected that level of fear. Times that by someone that doesn't subscribe to this book, that wants to fulfill their lust and everything else, come on. That fear is not there. It's not there completely. But when you read the different things, it tells you things like that the elements fear God.
Oh, man.
That the stars fear God. That they tremble when God calls upon them. And they perform their offices. But we as a people that have all these promises, that have the promise of salvation, we're the ones that go off. It says the heathen shall envy thee. Read.
But they shall be able to do nothing against thee, saith the Lord.
But they can't do nothing against us. Because what's happening to us now is what God is doing to us. God said, listen, Deuteronomy 28, 1 through 14, this is you. I got you. This is what I want to give to you. For you being my favorite, this is what I want to give you freely. But because we forsook it, he gave us 15 through 68 instead. And listen, 1 through 14, that's what, 14 verses?
Mm-hmm.
Versus the 54 verses of curses? Mm. People would choose
life.
Right, rather than death. But listen, we have to stop reading this Bible like it's a fairy tale book and just a book of stories. It's a history book. The same way our people are stiff-necked and rebellious now is the exact same way that they were rebellious and stiff-necked back then. It's the same spirits over and over and over again. Give me Wisdom of Solomon 5 verse 1. Oh, wait, hold on real quick. Pull up the definition of salvation real fast. Again, Wisdom of Solomon 5 verse 1. One of my faves. So again, the definition real quick of salvation is the preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss.
That's right.
So the whole purpose of salvation, or to be saved, according to the Bible, is that we should be saved from our enemies. Those that have wasted us in captivity, those that have stripped us of our nationality and reduced us to all these bywords and proverbs and being called goyims and things like that.
Right.
Those that use our talents for their own personal gain. Now, they'll have the few sprinkles of our people mixed in there.
Right.
Well, see, this person's got money. Oprah's a billionaire,
right?
Okay, but what about the trillionaires that sit on an upper seat that make money off of her? That's all part of the illusion of inclusion, all right? That's all a smokescreen. But read that. Wisdom of Solomon, 5 verse 1.
The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 1. Then shall the righteous man stand in great boldness.
Shall the righteous man stand in great boldness. That's what you're saying in these last days. We standing bold in purple and gold, all
right? That's right.
Because we now know who we are, and we now know what's required of us from God. Whether you be a brother or a sister, we all have a role to play in the rebuilding of the nation of Israel, all right? The work's got to get done.
That's right.
It has to get done, so why not it be you? That way there could be books written about you in the kingdom of heaven. Who don't want that?
Mm.
Who does not want that type of fame and fortune that comes with the salvation of being saved from your enemies, knowing that they write books about you? Lose sleep. Lose everything. Count all this world as dung and vanity, because it's all going to burn anyways.
Right?
Read on.
Before the face of such as have afflicted him.
Before the face of those that have afflicted us, that caused us harm, ruin, and loss. That's why we need salvation. Why does this man need salvation from the different Fortune 500 companies that he owns? From all the yachts and expensive cars and technology that he has? He don't need salvation from those things.
Right.
We're the people that have been cast down and trodden down and beaten down for our disobedience. We need the salvation. We're the ones that need a Savior, and we do. His name is Christ.
That's right.
But in order to get that salvation, it's time for you to wake up out of sleep, because that salvation draws nearer than anyone can even understand. We are in the last days, brothers and sisters. But read on.
And made no account of his labors.
They made no account for our labors. They beat our backs, and they reaped all the benefits. Read on.
When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear.
When they see it. The they is our enemies, those that did these things to us. When they see us stand in great boldness, they're going to be in terrible fear, because they're going to say, we spent trillions of dollars to keep this thing hidden from them. How did they know?
Mm.
Because guess what? There's a God in Israel. That's why.
That's right.
There's a God in Israel that said, I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense. And we are acknowledging our offense right now, and we're waking up to who we are. That's why they're standing in terrible fear.
That's right.
Have you ever been around somebody and they know they're wrong about something, or they feel uncomfortable, so they laugh?
Mm.
That's what these nations do. How does he do that? Oh, my goodness.
Right.
It's that awkward, uncomfortable laugh.
Right.
Because you know you got nothing else to say.
Right.
That's what it is. They stand in terrible fear. Read.
When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear, and shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation.
The his is the nation of Israel. But the strangeness is going to us being taken up in chariots. Because there's nowhere to go on this planet Earth that's going to be saved. Now, Esau and then the different rich heathen, they're going to try to hide in bunkers and things like that. The scriptures talk about that and how we'll hunt them in caves, so on and so forth, all right? That's when it's really hunting season then.
Right.
Man, can you imagine that? Can you really imagine that? Being in a cave, you just live through nuclear destruction that you can't even begin to fathom, right? Just think of all the terrible sounds and the loud noises and the screams and cries and all the bloodshed, so bad that the prophet said, man, I'd rather be dead that day, right? It's going to be that bad. That's why the scripture says, woe to them that desire the day of the Lord,
because right.
You don't know what it's going to be like. So imagine living through all that stuff,
right?
You witness all that stuff, so you're already shook anyways, and then you're in a cave, and then a big black guy that's like 8-9 feet tall, just full of just
power
and just spiritual and just everything else is like hunting you. Are you kidding me? You know how terrifying that's going to be?
Right.
That's the salvation that's waiting for the nation of Israel. So the strangeness is being taken up in those chariots, because once those bombs hit, there's nowhere on the planet Earth that's safe other than up.
Right.
Now, the reason why I wanted to bring this up, because you mean to tell me that, hold on real quick, let's get Obadiah real quick. Verse 18. Let me set this up real quick. Get Obadiah verse 18.
The book of Obadiah, verse 18. And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble.
And the house of Esau for stubble. Esau, again, is the Caucasian race. When you read in the Zondervan's Bible Dictionary, it's the only neighbor of the Israelites that was not promised salvation. So how can this man have a chance at salvation by cleaving unto the nation of Israel and being in submission now, one first and foremost, when he was given the authority of the earth right now?
Right.
God gave this man the authority of all the earth.
Right.
So this is his kingdom. Because the kingdom of heaven has four references in the Bible, right? Four references. There's the sky. There is what we call outer space.
Right.
There's the third heaven where the Most High, the Christ, and the angels dwell.
Right.
And then the fourth reference is talking about rulership.
Rulership.
He's in rulership right now.
Yes, sir.
So you mean to tell me that he can give up all these things and then be in subjection to us and then get salvation and eternal life?
And the mind of our people is in heaven or in the kingdom, he's still going to be above you.
That's exactly what it is. Well, no, I don't want to go if he can't go.
Right.
Well, then don't come then.
Right, stay in the fire.
What type of just God is that, that he's going to allow this man to do all those things to you, let this man be a fugitive and a vagabond ever since the beginning, ever since Cain and Abel, mm-hmm. he's been a fugitive and a damn vagabond, running from all the things that he's done, and then... Now, all of a sudden, now he gets the kingdom, too. Are you kidding me?
Hell no.
That is Stockholm Syndrome at its finest, but read on.
And the house of Jacob shall be a fire, and the house of Joseph a flame, and the house of Esau for stubble, and they shall kindle in them and devour them, and there shall not be any remaining of the house of Esau, for the Lord has spoken it.
It says there shall not be any remaining from the house of Esau. None. Not a one. All right. After that 1,000 years, okay, of harsh bondage, okay, actually, I'm going to get that next. So let me not go there. But listen, this man that did these things to us, that God used as his sword to whip us real quick, actually, pull up those images real quick that I have. It doesn't matter which order. Because again, salvation means that we need to be saved from harm, loss, and ruin. All right. These are the things that the Most High allowed this man to do to us, right? They say, oh, well, it's just, you know, it's Africans selling Africans. Hell no. Brothers don't sell brothers into slavery,
right.
Okay? They knew that they were the children of Israel, that they were taken captives, right? Because it was prophesied thousands of years before that. You guys know what I mean?
Bishop's been bringing out a lot of books that explains that it wasn't Africans selling Africans. It was the other nations. The real Africans selling the Jews into slavery. And
that's
the
right.
Jews, the black Jews, were in Africa.
There's so much literature that proves that. And then you can even go to the scriptures in Joel 3 to prove that even more.
That's right.
That it was the Africans and the Arabs that came together. That's why they had something called the sub-Saharan slave trade. That's what they did to our people. They broke us in and got us ready to come over here to the Americas.
Mm-hmm.
That slave trade was far more harsh and worse. That's why we got shipped to different parts of Asia, right? Who do you think built the damn Great Wall of China, all right? Mecca, where our people so ignorantly go and do their pilgrimage, right? Once in their lifetime, you have to do a pilgrimage to Mecca if you're a Muslim. That was the biggest slave trade port in the world at the time, where they broke our people in. Give me the next image.
Are you sharing this online? Okay. Share it online.
Yeah, share it. Let them see that. Let them see that. This is why we need salvation. Let me know whenever they can see it. Okay. Next image. There it is. Yokes of iron on us. Well, those aren't yokes of iron, but yokes nonetheless, taking us into captivity. Right here, where they made no account for our labors, had us working from sunrise to a sundown and gave us Sunday off. That way we could shuck and jive and coon for master to have that day of rest. Right? Next image. You know what? I actually had my boss recently tell me, man, because there's a Cottonfoot across the street from my job. My boss is an Edomite. He's like, man, I'm just dying to go over there and just grab some to see how it feels. I'm like, yeah, I'm sure you are.
you will.
Yeah. Don't worry, you will.
Not in this time. Guess what? Just wait. I'll see you in the kingdom.
Tell him, and he that has an ear, let him hear. Listen, salvation means that we need to have deliverance from harm. This is the stuff that was done to our people. And this is like a low level of stuff, too.
Right.
The things they did to our people about how they would take one of our sisters that was pregnant and cut open her belly and make bets on who would die first, her or the baby. They would take the baby out and smash him against rocks. All these, they would literally invent torture devices to just brutally murder our people slowly and painfully. Pull that up right there. That's us on slave ships right there. That's the deliverance that we need. That's the salvation that the children of Israel need. That's what happened to us. These things are still happening to us today, but it's not on this type of level. Now we're trapped in Christianity. Now we're trapped in deliverance from Catholicism, politics,
drugs,
violence. all these things that they put into our communities to keep us in captivity. Last picture. Pull that one up.
Damn, look at the brother in the back. Skinny.
Now these type of pictures are drawings that people would do because they would see these things. It's not like they had cameras back then. It's not like someone just sat down and said, you know what, let me draw a picture of some skinny brothers sitting down. No, that's what they saw, us on cargo slave ships starving to death to come over here and then work to death. They had remains of children up in New York because a big misnomer is that the North didn't have slaves. Yes, they did. Who do you think built Wall Street and built New York City? It was slaves. The first commodity on Wall Street was slaves. That's why that we had Black Friday and everything else.
Look at this brother right here, this young brother right here. He looks like he's like traumatized. You know what I mean?
The one sitting next to the one that looks like a Martin Lawrence.
Yeah.
Anyway, they found remains of children that were anywhere between 3 and 5 years old, whose bones had been so deteriorated for the harsh labor they did before they died, and these they were like 5 years old. They would work them from sunrise to sundown every single day.
And then that's still happening, not entirely to the wholesome of us, of our people that are scattered, but you have kids like in South America who work in coal mines that die at an early age. By the time they're 14, 15, they start working around 5 years old. By the time they're 14, 15, they die because their lungs are filled with coals, with charcoal and all this stuff. In Africa, how do you think they're getting
all the diamonds?
The diamonds,
right.
The gold. They make them work at a young age. So when they grow up, they're traumatized. And all they know is just work, 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 work.
Well, like, we can't be ignorant to this bubble that we live in called America.
Right,
just because you don't see those types of things happening today here in America doesn't mean that it's not happening in other parts where our people are scattered, like the officer saying. We're still dumbed down and in captivity, just not on to that level. If anything, we're far worse, because at least back then we knew who we were and we knew who the enemy was.
Right.
Once they took those yokes of iron off, then we were destroyed completely, just like how the Bible says. Now, rather than trying to get above our oppressor and trying to get that salvation that God promises, now we want to just be equal to him.
There's a picture I saw whenever the protests were happening. There's an Edomite, a Caucasian lady, with the sign saying, "We should be glad that blacks don't want vengeance, but equality."
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you see that one?
Because our people are ignorant. They're like, nah, this man's good. He gives me food. Goodness, he gives me sleeps. Hell no, it ain't good. Read that again, verse 2. In Wisdom of Solomon 5.
Sorry, I was dropped out.
You're good. Oaths, chapter 5, verse 2.
The Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 5, verse 2. When they see it, they shall be troubled with terrible fear.
It is the nations. When they see our salvation, they're going to be troubled with terrible fear. Read.
And shall be amazed at the strangeness of his salvation.
The strangeness is talking about us being taken up in chariots. What the world calls UFOs. Those things exist, and those are the vessels that the angels use and what they will use to deliver us out of this place, because we need deliverance from the harm, from the loss, from the ruin. Read.
So far beyond all that they looked for.
So now, give me Isaiah 61, verse 1. Now, I went to Obadiah to show you that Esau has no chance at salvation. Now, you got people saying that Esau is not the white man. Let's roll with that for a second, all right? The scripture says in Ecclesiastes that of the souls of men, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, I'm not quoting, that basically there's no end of all the people,
yeah.
Right?
There's no end of all the nations, right?
So Esau is not destroyed as much as people like to spread that lie, right? Esau is the one that spreads that lie. Esau says, no, Esau's destroyed, right? Because they don't want to be held accountable as being
for their actions.
As being the man of sin that must be revealed, right?
That's right.
But he's being revealed right now. So Esau has no chance of salvation, even if he is a white man or not, which he is. It's easier to prove that Esau is the white man than it is to prove that that we are the children of Israel.
That's right.
It really is. Right. It really, really is. I mean, this man has let us know that he's the devil over and over and over again. And I'll praise the Most High in Christ. So now, out of all these things that this man has done to us, right? I'm talking about the so-called white man, right?
Right?
Edom. All the atrocities, the things that we just saw on the screen, the things done to us. You mean to tell me that I got to strive my hardest, lose family, lose friends, lose jobs, lose every single thing, be willing to lose anything, and keep these commandments to the best of my ability, discipline myself to stop eating certain things, to literally become born again, like Christ said.
Right.
To be sitting there, to make it through the destruction, Lord, do I make it, and look to my right and see a damn Edomite sitting next to me.
He's going
to
be like,
right.
Hi.
Waving.
I'm here with you. Hi, I'm around.
You mean to tell me I'm going to get taken up, Lord, on a chariot, and look next to me and see someone wearing a damn MAGA hat?
Mm.
Are you kidding me? Who would even want that? Who would even want that?
Mm.
That's called Stockholm Syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody should want that thing.
At all.
I want to be in a chariot. Obviously, I'm going to be crying and wailing and everything else like the scripture says. But I want to be able to look down and give the finger to all those that hated me and say, listen, this is why I endured this.
Thank you, Lord. Right.
You got to be kidding me if you think I'm going to be sitting next to Donald Trump on the damn chariot receiving salvation. Come on.
He said, I made it as well.
Come on, right? Holding his Bible.
Upside down.
Upside down and backwards.
He said,
come on, bro.
I made it too.
Come on, listen. People like that because they got a damn lust demon on them and they want to include all the nations. This is how you know it's a lie. I'm going to show you. I'm going to prove it right now, right?
Spit hot fire.
How did we learn, or who did we learn from, that salvation is for everybody?
From the slave masters.
Right. So that right there tells you that it's a lie.
Mm.
That he took the scriptures and perverted us.
That's right.
That's why the Bible says that we fear God based upon the precept of men.
That's right.
So he taught us, hey, listen, salvation is open to anybody.
Mm.
And that confusion continues today. Even within the nation of Israel, you have Israelite camps that teach that Esau can sit next to you in his MAGA hat in the damn chariot.
Okay.
That's not flying, man.
Okay.
That's not flying with the Most High God. They're all going to get what they deserve. And that's harsh, harsh slavery.
Mm.
And that is just because God said it's just. Give me that.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 61, verse 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me.
The Spirit of the Lord of God is upon me. It's upon my brother. It's upon all those that subscribe to these commandments in the faith of Christ. The Spirit of God is upon us to come tell us, to come tell our people that, listen, this is the gospel. This is the good news.
Walk ye in it.
Stop following after the traditions of men and the things of this life. This is the right way to go. But our people like tangible things.
Mm.
But that's why your faith has to be built up to a certain point. You have that lottery ticket. You just got to wait till we cash it in,
right?
Read on.
Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound.
So now it says he has sent me to preach good tidings. The good tidings is if you keep the commandments and the faith of Christ, you are going to receive salvation.
That's right.
God is not unjust to reward you the things that you do that pertain to him and that's well-pleasing to him.
Mm.
God's not going to say, listen, keep the commandments and the faith of my son, and you get to the gate happy, right?
Mm.
Cheesing. You know what I'm saying? It's like that night before the first day of school when like you have your outfit all laid out, right? You cheesing. Ooh, I'm a killer tomorrow, right?
Mm.
Oh, okay. Got the
clothes
kicks
ready.
Clothes right there, all nice and iron. Kicks at the bottom, cheesing. Like, ooh, okay, I'm going to kill him.
Right.
That's how you walk up to the gate, cheesing. Like, yeah.
And then
the Lord's like, psych,
right.
Got you, nigga.
Yeah,
listen, it don't work like that. He's not unjust, okay? There's two-thirds of our people that's not going to make it, but that's because at one point he gave it to us all freely.
Right.
But now he said, listen, I'm going to make them work for it. And not just work for it, but work for it.
Mm.
And then those that still won't believe because they've been hoodwinked and bamboozled to believe a lie, then to hell with them. They're going to receive the same punishment as Esau, which is burning forever. But it says, to preach good tidings to the meek, and has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives.
The salvation.
That's the salvation. That's the deliverance from those that ruined us, from those that took from us, from those that harmed us. It says to proclaim liberty to the captives. Now, I'm going to paint a scenario for you, okay? I'm going to paint a scenario for you.
Clear canvas.
Okay? Clear canvas. I'm going to Bob Ross it for you. That way you can just see just how clear and how easy this is to understand, all right? Common sense, right? Although they say not all sense is common to everybody, I'm going to try my best, right? Let me take a sip of my Fiji real quick.
This show is brought to you by...
Yeah, right. So now... Let's say that you walk into a bank, all right? Let's say you walk into Wells Fargo to go make a deposit, okay? Because you're in the car and you've been working all week, right? Between two burdens, laboring, okay? So you say, you know what? I'm subject to payment, so I have to go make a deposit.
That's right.
You walk into Wells Fargo to make a deposit, and someone comes in, right? A group of guys come in with ski masks and guns, and then they start to rob the place, okay? But things go terribly wrong in the process of them robbing the place. So now the alarm goes off. All those little gates they have on the doors come down, right? Now they're stuck in there, right? They have nowhere to go. So now you're held captive, right? You're a hostage in that situation. During that time, during the hostage negotiations, okay, things aren't going the way that these gunmen want. So now they start doing things like they start mistreating the hostages, right? They start beating them. All these things to have leverage, right, to be able to be free. Let's fast forward, okay, after you've been there, let's say, 3 days with no food, no water, beaten, all these things, humiliated. Now they finally give up, okay, and then your deliverance comes through the door. Your deliverance finally comes. The SWAT team comes in to save the day, to come bring deliverance to those that were harmed and ruined, right? Does that same salvation pertain to the gunman? Hell no, it doesn't. Bro, that's common sense. If you were one of those hostages that was getting your tail whipped for 3 days with no food and water, and then the SWAT team came in and they rushed right to the gunman and said, oh, are you guys okay? And start throwing blankets around them, right? Like little hostage blankets. Here's some food and water. You'd be like, what the hell is going on here?
Right.
What is really going on here that these people are receiving this treatment? But no, when it comes to the scriptures and the things that they did to us, we want our captors to also get salvation with us.
Right.
That's not how it works. It says that he's coming to claim liberty to the captives. Mm. We are the captives. Because we broke the commandments of God, because they only pertain to us. All right? Give me Matthew 1, verse 21.
So, I don't know if you got it, but that Isaiah 45, man, it's a basic.
All right, hold on. We'll get it now. What is it? Isaiah 45 and what?
17.
Isaiah 45 and 17?
Yeah.
All right, I'll read it for you.
Oh, please.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 45 and verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Ye shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end.
Our salvation, our deliverance, our redemption will be like none other, and it's not going to end. It's just going to be continuous.
Forever, ever?
Forever, ever glory.
We can't even fathom forever.
No.
We can't. Okay, now it's my turn. Read it for me.
I'll praise it.
My turn.
Isaiah 45, verse 17. But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation.
But Israel shall be saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Israel, the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel, those that come back and keep the laws and the faith of Christ shall get that everlasting life. Read.
You shall not be ashamed nor confounded, world without end.
Never again will you be ashamed for subscribing to a proverb or a byword. I was 25 when I first learned this truth. I was 25, and I couldn't tell the brother what my nationality was. Everything, every generic answer I gave him, I just parakeeted off what I was told my entire life.
Right.
It was, My dad's Creole. Creole, that's a language. My dad's African-American. African-American, that's two white guys. He's black. Black, that's a color. I was ashamed. I don't know who I was, but I'm never ashamed now because I know now that I'm an Israelite from the tribe of Levi, of the nation of Israel. I'm never ashamed of that. Mm-hmm. I'm never ashamed to wear my fringes. I'm never ashamed to keep my dietary law, to shun the things that God finds displeasing to him. Never am I ashamed for those things. When people say, oh, you don't celebrate Christmas? Hell no, I don't celebrate Christmas. Mm-hmm. Actually, I had a interview recently on my Zoom call. He asked me if I was okay with working holidays. I said, yeah, that's fine.
Hell yeah.
That's great. I said, I don't celebrate holidays. He said, oh, that sucks for your wife. I said, well, it was an agreement that her and I both had prior to us getting married. So, no, keep it, right. You know, keep it cordial.
Right.
Like, no, you know what, Kalea, bring me my camp signs.
Right.
But it says, nor confounded. We won't be confounded because we can go precept upon precept to prove that salvation pertains to the nation of Israel. And that's the good tidings that we're teaching to those that need to hear this thing. That's the message that is being delivered to everybody that pertains to the nation of Israel. This is for you. This is the way, walking in it.
That's right.
Right? Now give me Matthew 1, verse 21.
The book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 21. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus.
Because the word Jesus means he saves, all right? Savior, he saves. Thou shalt bring forth a son. This is talking about Mary. She was going to have a son. His name shall be Jesus. Read.
Jesus, for he shall save his from their sins.
He shall save his people from their sins. Give me Hebrews 7, verse 14. Let's see who his people are that he's going to save. Ever since the world began, that it was always prophesied that there would be a horn raised up to bring salvation to the nation of Israel. Those that will be saved with an everlasting salvation. Read.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 14. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood.
It says it is evident that our Lord sprang from where?
Judah.
From where?
Judah.
You got to put some respect on that thing.
Judah.
Got to put some respect on that thing, all right? The scripture says in 2 Ezra 2 that we declare our Savior openly, all right? We openly declare that Christ sprang from the tribe of Judah, the head tribe of the nation of Israel, that came and spilled his blood for us to be able to atone from our sins, to be able to face the east with our hands to the sky and say, Lord, forgive me for the things that I've committed. For us to be able to have that chance to seek that salvation. And you mean to tell me that this man can just live life and live free and just say, okay, whatever. I also keep the laws. Well, that's great. That's, you know what? That's rehearsing the righteous acts.
Right?
There you go. Keep rehearsing all you want. But he shall save his people. That's a possessive thing. That's that whole thing. That's the reason why they teach Immaculate Conception. Because if you teach that he didn't come from any nation of people, then he could be for everybody.
That's right.
But jump up to verse 1 and see that he has a what? A lineage.
That's right.
He has a genealogy. Why is that there? Because it's important. But Christians would be like, man, there's too many names. That's way too many names to pronounce. So let me jump to verse 18. Oh, oops. Immaculate Conception.
He came for everybody. He doesn't have a lineage.
Another absolute falsehood. Absolute falsehood. Give me Hebrews 9. Give me Hebrews chapter 9.
I know what you want. Oh, fire.
Oh, fire. Yep, that's the one.
The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, verse 15. And for this cause, he is the mediator of the New Testament.
He is speaking of Christ. It says that he is the mediator of the New Testament. The word testament just means agreement. The agreement under the Old Testament that was that when we sin, we had animal sacrifice. Because people like to think that grace is like a new thing. Grace is not a new thing. Grace has been around ever since sacrifice was implemented,
yes,
right? During the time of Adam and Eve, when they sinned, the Most High instituted animal sacrifice for us to have an atonement for our sins. Blood had to be spilled for the remission of sin. So our grace was a turtle dove, an oxen, mm-hmm. right? And our faith was that sacrifice was good enough to be forgiven for that sin.
To get it right next time.
But that thing wasn't perfect, and we continued to sin over and over and over and over again. So we said, I'm doing away with this, and I'm going to spill my son's blood so that way they can have a chance to be forgiven from all things except blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. But it says, for this cause he is the mediator, meaning he is that middleman between us and the Most High. That's why he said, you can't get to the Most High but by me.
That's right.
For those that denounce Christ and say, oh, the New Testament is garbage and they only believe the old, you have no chance at salvation because you deny Christ. That's blasphemy of the Holy Ghost. You're treading on dangerous, dangerous waters. That means that you're waiting for a man to rise up right now, a regular man to rise up and fight against his power. You can't do that. That's why God says that he's going to be the one to overthrow it, because it takes a God to overthrow this kingdom.
Right.
Read on.
That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament.
By means of his death. Of death, he died for those that were also under the first testament, the first agreement. Who was under the first agreement?
Israel.
The nation of Israel.
That's right.
So he's the mediator, he's the middleman for us and the Most High God. That's between us and him. That's that exclusive marriage that we have between us and him.
That's right.
That's that binding contract that we all sign with our Lord and Savior's blood. We signed the contract that God said, listen, you want to play for my team? Here you go. Here's the contract. And we took that pen, dipped it in Christ's blood, and signed it. So when you breach the contract or break the contract, there needs to be repercussions. And the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
Death is the only thing that's acceptable if you break that contract. But he's the mediator for those that were also under the first testament.
It says for the redemption redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament.
Because when you read in Revelation 14, verse 12, it tells you that these are they that keep the commandments and faith in Christ. They're coupled hand in hand.
That's right.
You can't have salvation without the other one. You can't have one without the other, right? Right, you know, right?
Yeah, I don't know.
Married with children? Anyways, so you can't have one. They go coupled hand in hand. The same way that we had faith in our animal sacrifice, now we have faith in applying God's laws in Christ. It's the same thing. Christ was never made the mediator between us or between himself and the different nations to God. You don't read that scripture anywhere.
At all.
Anywhere. In fact, you read things like, give me Matthew 15, verse 24. Let's get that real quick. Matthew 15 and verse 24.
The book of Matthew, chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel.
Out of Christ's own mouth. He said, listen, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Right? That's out of Christ's own mouth. He said, I'm not sent to do anything other than what the Father sent me to do. And that's to bring salvation to the trodden down, to the brokenhearted, to the captives, those that have been ruined and lost. Last scripture, give me the one where it says the righteous shall scarcely be saved. That's in Peter's, correct?
Second. First Peter chapter 2.
First Peter 2.
I'm sorry. Is it 1? Chapter 1.
Because Christ came to fulfill a purpose, right? And his purpose was to bring salvation to the nation of Israel. It's very simple. Very, very simple to understand. But our people, 1 Peter 4, verse 18, but our people, because of their lust and everything else, they want to usurp what God says and start applying what they think God meant. It's very clear,
that's right?
You don't have to go anywhere but the Bible to prove what the Bible was saying. 1 Peter 4 and verse, let me see if I want verse 18. Yep, verse 18.
The book of 1 Peter, chapter 4, verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?
You see that? It says that the righteous will scarcely be saved. That means when you're applying these commandments to the best of your ability, right? When you're striving in these things, when you wake up, you pray. When you pray midday. You're always constantly praying and thinking of the Most High God. You're not taking double looks when women walk by or when men walk by. You're always focused on the laws of God. Those things have now been written on your heart, like how the Bible says, meaning you just always constantly do them. You're striving to become a better man or a better woman or a better father, a better wife, husband, whatever the case may be in this walk with Christ. You're striving. And the scripture says, even then, you will still only be scarcely saved. You will scarcely be saved even then when you're striving to the best of your ability. That means when those nukes hit and that fire comes, you're going to feel the heat on you. And you're going to think, damn, I didn't make it. You're going to scarcely be saved. And you mean to tell me those that the laws have been given to, that righteousness applies to? Because righteousness means what? To keep the laws.
That's right.
So when you read in Deuteronomy 4, verse 44, the laws were given to the nation of Israel. Therefore, we're the only ones that can do the laws to receive that salvation. Now, in the kingdom, when these nations are under our subjection, then yes, they have to keep the laws.
That's right.
There ain't no confusion like this right here. It ain't going to be Babylon the Great Part 2, 2.0.
Right.
It ain't going to be that. It's not going to be that. But if the righteous shall scarcely be saved, then how the hell do these nations have a chance of salvation? If they're the ungodly and the sinner that the Bible is talking about. They're the sinners because they transgress God's laws. They can keep the laws that as they want perfect. It don't matter. It doesn't pertain to them. Israel shall be saved with the Lord with an everlasting salvation.
That's right.
So with that, I'm going to close it up. Lord's will that you guys got some edification. Lord willing, life lasts. We'll be on again next week. All right. Tune in on Saturday for the power hour with myself and the other captains. All right. With that, we say shalom.
Shalom.
Lego.
Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We
got
back.
The nations running scared because Israel is back. All lies on us because we keeping them lost.
Keeping
when
them
the
lost.
Lord returns, Babylon will fall.
Preset
solid.
Solid.
We got them on lock.
Got
God's chosen people with Christ as our rock. Israel is back.
We back.
Israel is back.
We back.
You heathen, get ready for our whip to crack.
Dang.
Israel is back. The dragon is wrought because we're fleeing.